Now, we are at our third and final point in defining biblical eldership. We have seen the overall concept, it's shepherding. We have seen the qualifications, which tell us a lot about who elders are and even what they do. And now we want to actually look at the New Testament roles for pastor elders. Now, the overall concept is shepherding. And if you know anything about this marvelous image of shepherding, it breaks down into four units. There is the feeding, there is the protecting, there is the leading, and there is the caring or the healing of the sheep. Let's look at these four aspects of shepherding, which is what all the elders must be able to do. Let's look teach or feed the church. Now, if you know anything about sheep, sheep are dependent on people. There would be no sheep in the world today if it wasn't for people, because they are not able to care for themselves. They're definitely not able to protect themselves. They are a marvelous illustration to us of our complete and total dependence upon God for our lives and for spiritual life. Well, sheep need shepherds, and the first duty of the shepherd is to feed the sheep. No food, no sheep. And so we need to be able to feed God's word, the bread of life, to God's people. In the Old Testament, we see that the priests and the elders and the king, in many, many cases, fail to feed the people of God on the law of God. Hosea the prophet says this, he cries out, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Hosea 4:6. Are your people destroyed because of a lack of knowledge? And then Ezekiel 34:2, Ezekiel talking about the shepherd, what he's to be like. He says this, "Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep?" So it is the job of the shepherd, the first job, and it's a positive part of the job, is feeding people God's word. And then Jeremiah the prophet says this, and God says this to Jeremiah, "I will give you shepherds after my own heart." Now this is God speaking to Jeremiah. What are shepherds after God's own heart? Notice, "who will feed you with knowledge and understanding." They will feed you with knowledge, meaning the knowledge of the law of Moses and understanding of the things of God. Great wisdom. When you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, what was he like? He was primarily a teacher. When people saw Jesus, they said, "teacher, rabbi." Now, that will be what God will give to his people, teachers who know the word of God and teach. Now, when you come to the New Testament, this is amazing how much the New Testament emphasizes teaching, because the gospel's news, and news has to be taught. It has to be told to people. And the gospel news also has lots of teaching with it and doctrine with it. It can be very elaborate and very in-depth. We have to be teaching this. Now, if you look through the book of Acts, you will see, and you'll see this in every great revival, that every revival, the very dawn of the Christian movement, was a teaching, preaching movement. That's what most characterized the new Christian era, teaching. The Great Commission says this, and let's not forget, the Great Commission says you are to teach them to obey all that I have commanded you. That's part of the Great Commission, to be teaching Christ's teachings, but not just information, but teach them to live it, to obey it, to observe it. So this is a major aspect of the shepherd's work, to be teaching the word of God. And that's why every elder is to meet the qualification to be able to teach, to be able to instruct in sound doctrine, and also to be able to refute false teachers. And then some elders, as we have been seeing, some elders are also given fully and completely to teaching and preaching the word of God, and the church is to respond to them. Listen to James Orr, one of the great theologians, Scottish theologians, who did the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. Here's his quotation. "If there is a religion in the world which exalts the office of teaching, it is safe to say that it is the religion of Jesus Christ." And so that's why every elder, to qualify, has to be able to teach the word and know the word of God. Now, let me give you one more point, and that is this. the future preparation of elders and of teachers and of leaders in our church. We are way too passive about this. We've handed this off to Bible schools and seminaries. If you complain about Bible schools and seminaries, it's because you're not doing the job. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, Timothy, you are to take the deposit of the gospel and you are to entrust it to a certain kind of people, not to all people, to people who are faithful and that can teach others who will teach others. In other words, this is passing on the gospel to the next generation. It's preparing for the future, providing future leadership for the church. Here is something I observed over many, many years. Any church with a good eldership and a good leadership body has done a lot of training. They have prepared men. They've had them in the elders' meetings. They've taught them doctrine. They've tested their doctrine. They've put them out in service. They've worked with them. And they have elders who they know, who they've trained. Makes a world of difference. We spend a lot of time committing ourselves to training the next generation of elders. I have the great joy now of having some young men that I am training for future eldership. We go over doctrine. We go over their life. We watch over their preaching. And we're passing the doctrine and we're passing the gospel on to them. We're entrusting it into their care that they will be able to teach others who will teach others and will carry on this great work. So, feed the flock. Listen to one more verse. In Acts chapter 20, Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders, and he says this to the Ephesian elders. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Did you hear that? Paul says to the Ephesian elders as he leaves, I gave you the whole message. I gave you the complete plan of God, Genesis to Revelation. I gave you the covenants. I gave you the history. I gave you the great and mighty doctrines and the great events of salvation history. I gave this to you. I held back nothing. Now you men do the same thing. That's our job, to teach the whole counsel of God. Now next, protect the church from false teachers. Now, one of the qualities of sheep is that they get lost, but also they cannot protect themselves. Lions, wolves, bears, they can destroy them so easily, and they can't even really fight back. In fact, they get so scared they fall over and die. Sheep have to be protected, not only fed, but protected. This is a major aspect of the job of an elder. In fact, in the great, great passages on eldership, Acts chapter 20, 1 Peter chapter 5, the qualification in Titus 1:9, all emphasize the aspect of shepherding, of watching, guarding, protecting the sheep, watching out for wolves. Wolves are the false teachers. In fact, the arch enemy of the Church of Jesus Christ is the false teacher. Now, in Acts chapter 20, that marvelous passage, Paul makes the most frightening statement. He says this, there are wolves coming from without, and they're very, very hungry, and they love sheep. They're false teachers. And they will devour the flock, and they will draw the flock after themselves. But he says something very scary. He says, from among yourselves, among you elders, will arise false teachers. So you must be, in verse 31, a key verse, you must be alert. You must be watchful. You cannot go to sleep. The sheep will be taken from you. Now, people who are experts in the cults are saying this. There is an explosion of cults worldwide. There's an explosion, even in the Bible-believing community, of aberrant teaching. A dear friend of mine was at a conference, and he was talking to a world-renowned theologian, excellent theologian, who's written many good books. And my friend said to the theologian, he said, now, where is the main attack coming upon Christian doctrine? And the theologian took a big sigh, and he said, it's coming from every angle, and every doctrine is under assault. There is much aberrant teaching in the Christian community. Are you aware of that? Are you able to defend your flock? Are you able to protect the people from false teaching? So, my dear friends, this is a major aspect of your job. An elder who cannot protect the flock from false teaching is a danger to the flock. I was raised in a very liberal denomination. In fact, I used to always say, if it's Christian, they deny it. Now, at one time in the history of this denomination, they were very orthodox. I would agree with 90% of what they said. How did they turn from Orthodox historic apostolic doctrine? How is it today they're basically seculars with a little candy coating of religion called Christianity? How'd this happen? The elders didn't guard the flock. They didn't know their Bibles. They didn't know Christian doctrine. They had no courage. And the wolves came in from the seminaries and they welcomed them in. And I can tell you this from personal experience as a young teenager, seeing wolves invited into the church to teach us young people. But I had been born again and I was studying my Bible and I could see these are wolves being invited into the church. And the elders allowed this. If you can't protect the church and protect sound doctrine, if you're not a guardian of the gospel, you are a danger. I would suggest this, that you get a piece of paper like this, put your resignation on it, and hand it to the church, because that would be the best thing you could do for the church, because you're not able to do the job. You must protect the church. But not only must you protect from false doctrine, you have to protect the church from its own internal fighting. One of the biggest problems in our church is Christians killing Christians. We're fighters, and we can be very mean about it, very ugly about it. And so the elders must protect the flock from problems, particularly conflict within the flock. Sheep kick, and they kick one another, and they hurt one another. You have to be there to help them and to stop them. Sometimes they just get totally out of control. They even think they're doing God a great favor. So I would suggest that you be the kind of elder that can bring peace to the church and resolve difficulties and show forgiveness and help people work through their difficulties. I think the hardest job of being an elder, and the one that probably causes more elders to resign, is to protect the church from sin and dealing in church discipline and dealing with people's sins and their divorces and their adulteries and their stealing and their backbiting and their anger and their confusion in their mind. Dealing with people's sins is not easy. It wears you out. And dealing with church discipline, it's emotionally trying. It's painstaking. And it has caused many men to leave Christian ministry. But it's part of protecting the church. We have to deal with sin. Teaching is wonderful. It's the positive part. Preparing men for future leadership and women for leadership in the church. These are wonderful traits and exciting ministries. But dealing with sin, dealing with people's behavior and their cruel words and their self-deception, confronting them, oh, that will kill you. It's emotionally draining, stressful, but it's part of protecting the flock. Sin has to be dealt with in the local church. And if you don't deal with sin now, you'll just deal with it later and it'll be far worse. And many churches are in the bondage of sin because no one's ever dealt with sins in the church. So part of your job is to protect the church from our own sinful behaviors and to protect from infighting and to protect us from wolves from without and wolves from within. This takes courage. To protect the flock takes great courage. And I think of that marvelous story in the Old Testament of David. And you remember he was only a teenager and he was watching over his father's flock. And as he was watching over the flock, a bear came and a lion came. Now, if I saw a bear, and I have seen bears, in fact, I had a bear one time at our camp walk right by me, about a 400 or 500 pound black bear. They are huge. And he went right by me. I thought I could never wrestle that bear. He just hit me once and it'll all be over. And then a lion came and he killed the lion and he killed the bear because he was a man of courage. He was a man of faith and he was going to protect that flock. Do you have that kind of courage, that kind of faith? You will stand up. You will give your life. You're prepared to die for the church and die for the Lord's people, to give yourself sacrificially, to know what false doctrine is and to stand up. And I will tell you this one thing in closing. When you stand up to false teachers, it's scary. It's scary. They have a way of rattling you. And you can't argue with them. Their minds are so twisted and perverted. The Bible says that. It's corruption of the mind. But that's what you're called to do. Will you protect the flock? Will you be courageous? Don't be passive. Know the truth and stand for the truth.